welcome to episode 53 of Tabletop Game Talk, a show where we talk about tabletop games of all types. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Sydney.
Today we're live at Gen Con 50.
Wow.
All right. So we'll talk about some of the things we've seen and done. We'll talk with some of the awesome people here about things they've seen as well. We might even take a few questions. But first, a thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison. And thank you to our newest patron, Joseph Lee. And a huge thanks to all of our patrons as well. Whew, I almost did that well.
No, you almost did. Yeah. Every time. And we don't restart that. It's like a 60-second thing. We could always restart it, but we never restart.
Never.
So normally this is where I would give some announcements. I would talk about the upcoming contest. I'd talk about Gen Con. A lot of people are going to be glad I'm not going to talk about Gen Con anymore because we're doing the show right
now. Here.
Yeah. But first, I really... we have an intervention for Kitty. So Kitty's been gaining a lot of weight lately, and I think that we need to talk about this. So Kitty, would you like to explain what's going on here?
I am pregnant. We are expecting a new player. This isn't just a burrito.
Kitty rules.
I brought fans.
So, yeah, so this is, well, we've known for quite some time.
We have, yes. Yeah. Which is why I've been super cagey about doing another drinking games episode.
Yeah. Although it is going to happen, when are you due?
January 26th.
All right, so January 27th, we're going to record our next drinking game episode. It's something
it
about...
better be on time.
Yeah, surpluses and pumping and dumping. I don't know how this stuff works. I don't know. All I know is she wants wine, and who am I to say no? So, no, I think it's fantastic. Kitty, congratulations.
Thank you.
Baby gamer on the way.
And so Kitty says that January 27th, she's going to continue doing the show. She's going to do it from the hospital. It's going to be great.
I don't remember that part of saying that.
I might be making some of this up. She'll be delirious and on drugs at the time, so it'll be fantastic.
It'll be a great episode.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. Anyway.
That's our big news.
We wanted to announce it here because Kitty's like, I'm going to be in front of a bunch of people and they're going to think I'm just fat. I'm like, no.
It just looks like a burrito now.
It just looks like a burrito. She tells me on a daily basis, it's like, it's the size of a plum right now. And
it's the size of an onion this week, in case anyone was wondering.
Yeah. We don't know. An onion that's bigger than an avocado, because it was an avocado last week.
It's a 5-inch onion, apparently.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I don't like onions, but I'm sure the child would be just fine.
Next week, it'll be something else.
All right. Well, and now, instead of like a weight loss update, we're going to have like, what's the baby shape like update? It'll be fantastic. All right, but what really people care about...
Of course.
Not really. Her news is the most important. We probably should have just ended with that. Raxxon winners. So there's a couple different things that are going on right now. I'm giving away 2 Raxxon games to people who have signed up and entered over the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. Thanks to Christy.
Christy
sent me Raxxon. And it's a single, well, not single player, a multiplayer co-op game fighting zombies in the Dead of Winter universe. And you get 3 invites. You can invite 3 other people. So we're giving 2 away to people who entered.
It's very exclusive.
Yes. Because if you don't know someone, you can't fight zombies. That's how that works. So we're going to give away 2. And I already know the 2 people. I've drew. It depends on, it's a regional thing.
I'm just going to leave you struggling with that.
So I already know those 2 people. We're also going to give away 1 additional one, and that's going to be to someone in this room.
Here today.
So, also, if you're in this room, you already know there is a stack of games sitting next to us. During my purge, I got, maybe 55 games that I brought with. There's still about another dozen or so at home.
Sydney had to drive all of these down from Chicago. She was so afraid to hit the brakes too hard.
She's like, the car drives differently with all these games in it.
It was packed.
Yeah. So we're going to try to make sure the car drives differently on the way back by not allowing any of these games to leave with us. So the 2 winners that have entered, and both of these winners were won by our Patreon that... It's not rigged, I promise. I have Sydney. She's an accountant. She reviews all of our content. Yep. one of them sitting in the room, so I'm not going to say that person's name right away, but Steven Seitz. Is Steven Seitz in the room? No? Okay.
No.
So Steven Seitz, you have won a game of Raxxon.
Hooray! Congratulations.
Yep, congratulations. And seriously, this was not rigged. I looked at Sydney. I'm like, look who won. And Sydney's like,
he's entered it into Excel.
So Terrence Miltner is our other winner of Rexot. So I do not know. Everyone has a tabletop Game Talk pin. It's a square pin with a silver number on the back. If you don't have one, raise your hand real quick. All right. Everyone has one. I think we went from 1 to 20. Is that right?
30.
There's a few more than that. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm just going to pick a random number off of one of my favorite numbers. And if you have this number, you are also going to win. So just come up to me afterwards. So I'll talk about the room in a second. So who has the number 25? Anyone have 25? Terrence, you're not allowed to win. All right. That was my favorite number. My second favorite number, though, is 5. 5? All right. We have it. You can stay there. Stay there.
You can stay in the back. We have a seat.
What is your name, though? What is your name?
Richard.
Richard. So, Richard, you have won. Come up, give me your address later after the show, and we will get you the third copy of Rexot. Excellent. Excellent. So, I don't know how many people realize that the hotel we're in, which, why don't I know the name?
Crown Plaza.
The Crown Plaza, Cindy, used to be, this is why she's on the show.
Yeah.
Way more useful than Josh already.
It's really fun to make fun of Josh on the show when he's not here, because I don't think he listens to the episodes.
He's going
to
listen, and he's going to be like, rage texting me the entire time. Occasionally. He's listened to one or two.
Well, see, you proved that you listened because you told him about bananagrams.
Yeah. So you got bananagrams wrong. I'm like, that's because it wasn't that great a game.
And then I love bananagrams, and I will defend it to the day I die.
So this place used to be a train station. And every once in a while, it's still an actual train station. So every once in a while, you hear the train rumble overhead. So if you hear that, you only probably hear it in the room. These mics are pretty good at not picking up anything else.
I don't know about that, though.
However, next door seems to be a way rowdier group. That's that podcast over there, whatever they're doing.
I really hope that they feel the same way about us, though.
They probably
do. We've done a lot so far.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with our crowd.
Yeah, we're going to be obnoxious for them,
job.
Too.
No, keep it
we
up, don't.
Guys. We love them. They're great people. You guys are better, though. So, yeah. Just for the record. All right. So, this would be normally when I would talk about Kickstarter. Instead of talking about Kickstarter, I'm just going to say I finally got my early access to Gen Con yesterday. It involved me getting up at 4:45 Chicago time.
It involved you starting a podcast a year ago.
Actually,
to get the process started.
Rewind a year ago when I really wanted to get in the room early. And I'm like, hey, Josh, let's do this podcast. A year later, I got a media badge. But in order to get that, you have to be one of the first 90 people. The 1,000 people had media badges. So 4:45 in the morning, Chicago time, 5:45 local Indiana time. I get up and I'm sitting in line. I'm playing my Nintendo Switch, playing Zelda. If you haven't played Zelda, it's great. It's great. So that's what started yesterday. And waiting in line for about 2 hours, got my badge, got my early access ticket, which then takes you to another line. So early access isn't like some magical place where you just appear in the dealer's hall. It doesn't work like that. You go to another room where you stand in line for an hour, and everyone who walks by is like, what's this line for? And he's like, it's for early access. I was like, oh, what do I need to do for that? Start a podcast a year ago. That works. So...
Only if you're Chris, though.
Only if you're me. It's the only
way
it works.
Some of us didn't get media badges.
So podcasts only get one because we're not a legit form of media, apparently.
It's all lies.
Whatever. So then all of a sudden the door is like 9 o'clock. The line starts moving. And I have to admit, they did a really good job because by 9:02, I was in the room.
Nice.
And how many people have been in the dealer's hall of Gen Con? Like, I'm almost everybody. Okay. How many were able to actually, you know, move around without being jostled by somebody, like two or three people? Okay. We have a very skinny person sneaking through. It is glorious that first hour. I got all the games I wanted. Jen, one of our patrons sitting in the front row here, she's like, can you pick up the Harry Potter monster box? And I'm like, sure. And I went over there and I was like, there's tons of them. This is not going to run out. Turns out there's only 150 a day, and I accidentally just got one of those. Jen's appreciates that. The people I'm staying with, they wanted a few things. So I picked those up, and I picked a few things up for me. And a lot of other stuff like Cities of Splendor. I didn't really worry about. A couple expansions. I'm like, oh, there'll be plenty of them. I went back at noon, all sold out. Like, Gen Con 50 is crazy. Saturday sold out first. I don't expect there's going to be anything to buy on Saturday. You're going to get there and, like, everything's gone. So
I don't know. They do a lot of rolling releases, so many a day.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that they will do that. Some of them are like, nope, we're just done.
And Thursday morning, he sends me a picture of all of the games that he's bought. And I'm like, oh, at least you get to drive back.
Yeah. So I did pick up about a dozen. No, not a dozen. Like eight or so games. I'm drinking 50 to give away.
The balance is okay.
Exactly. So that's my Kickstarters instead. I did not do Kickstarters because I spent way too much money at Gen Con. Also, I think I might have just done that thing where I was like, I got it all and you guys didn't. That's not my intention, I promise.
You can start podcasts too.
Yeah. Start your own podcast. Don't do that. Just listen to us. We happily listen to all of your stuff. And you will be on today's podcast if you want to be. So that's the off topic, and that wasn't even off topic, but I got to play this segment music real quick, and then Kitty's going to read another thing, and then we'll actually start the show.
I'm paying attention.
All right, here goes.
In this episode, we're talking about Gen Con 50, but there's so much to see and do, we're also going to ask some of our audience members for help. So let's get to it.
All right. Kitty, first, I want to hear about, I've already heard about it, but I want you to tell the story of why, how, when you got here for Gen Con, because this is a great story.
So I woke up at 5:45 this morning, Chicago. Drove through, and my GPS is telling me, oh, you'll be there at 10:30 Eastern time. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. I got this. And then it starts going 10:45, 11, 11:15, 11:30, 11:45, noon. It got up to 12:15 at one point. There was a crash that shut down all the lanes of I-65 at one point. And we all got directed off the highway and rerouted. And then my GPS went back to 11 a.m. So I made it.
Yes.
But if I had not had Google Maps directing me back to the highway, who knows where I would have ended up. It was quite an interesting journey to get here.
Yeah, so I think this is a good point to say Kitty woke up very early in the morning to drive to Gen Con just for the day, just for this show.
Just for you guys.
Yeah,
just to be here right now.
She's going to drive to Michigan after the show, which is another 3.5, 4-hour drive.
It's actually the same amount of time it takes to get to Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad.
Yeah. And Josh decided to take a plane to somewhere in the middle of nowhere where he's like, well, there's not a lot of clouds there for Monday. That's what Josh is doing.
Yeah. He's so, really into the eclipse.
He really is.
Super into it.
So he's not going to take nearly as many pictures either. He's probably going to just enjoy it or something. I don't know.
He's in the moment.
Yeah. So I just thank you, Kitty, for being here.
You're welcome.
It's fantastic.
So, waking up me and baby early and driving down. Just
driving
for you guys.
By yourself.
Solo.
Yeah, pregnant. Now she can use the pregnant card, though, for the entire rest of the year.
Anyone coming to Gamehole Con, get ready for that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
going
to be so
miserable.
Didn't
mention Gamehole Con. We won't.
I did now.
Actually, is anyone here going to go to Gamehole Con? Madison, Wisconsin? Jen's coming.
All right.
I
saw some maybe hands.
Yeah. It's a really, really cool con. So if you live anywhere in driving distance to Madison, you should check it out. It's little, but there's all kinds of really cool people there. And we'll be there. So
we will.
Yeah.
And we'll have more opportunities to hang out with us and play games and stuff.
Absolutely. This Gen Con is too big to actually plan too much because there's all kinds of chaos going on everywhere.
So much to do.
But you can. So Kitty's leaving. But seriously, if you guys want to play games or do anything with me in Sydney, let us know. All right. we will be available. So experiences at Gen Con. Your experience was you came into the stadium.
Yes. I came into the stadium, looked around. And it is a football field full of gaming things, which is nuts.
The first year in 50. Well, I guess 50 years. How many of you guys have been at the Lucas Oil Field? Okay. So when you go into the middle of it, you see this like little kind of history of Gen Con.
It was the coolest thing ever. They had all of these different little parts of games that like were old versions of things. So like they had some pieces from the original versions of Catan. And they also had a Macintosh brick computer with the file open to all the games you could play, like Hearts or Solitaire. It was a really cool little exhibit.
Yeah, what's really sad is I learned how to program on one of those computers. So, yeah. Sydney and Chris I are going to get... Yeah, we're sitting here getting married in exactly 2 months from tomorrow. So... And I'm old, she's not. but that works out best for me. That's good. They have a little thing saying, you're on the 50-yard yacht line of the stadium. And the entire original Gen Con fits in this area. And they really mean just the area that the beige gates are around, where the museum area is, which is about the size of a medium-sized hotel ballroom. And now it's Gen Con 50, where not only do they have the entire Illinois Convention Center, pretty Indiana. Much in Indiana Convention Center. This is why I have co-hosts.
What state are we in?
Welcome to insert state here. No, they have now they have the Soldier Field. They have all of the hotels. Like back to Illinois. You know,
can you guess where we're from?
If they just moved to McCormick Center, it would be totally fine. They could fit everything in there.
Nope.
They have Lucas Oil Stadium. And all of the hotels. And all I'm saying is Gen Con is getting really big.
Huge.
Sold out for the first time. I think what that is it shows that this board gaming hobby of ours is really, really taking off. And when you have something this big, like, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, Origins grew like by 10 or 15%. There's different small cons showing up all over the place. We keep talking about Gamehole Con. It started 6 years ago with like 500 people. It's going to have like almost 4,500 people this year. Dice Tower Con, which, you know, Sydney and I have gone to the past time. Last year it was 1,500 people. This year it's 3,000 people.
They took the whole convention center this year, where last time they were half of it.
Yep. So, I mean,
doubled in size.
It's amazing how this like hobby is growing and becoming more and more mainstream. A lot of you know that I'm really big into role-playing games as well. You know, this year, Dungeons & Dragons has been deemed cool again. You know, in the 80s, I don't know if it was ever cool in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
No.
But it was... But it was still popular.
Yeah.
And now, actually, it's gone beyond popular to mainstream. The live streams that go on, all of these things are like...
People play it on Twitch just like they play video games.
Yep. And they become celebrities. Like, you know, we had in, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, like video game celebs that were, you know, Twitch came out of video games. But now Dungeons & Dragons and board games are starting to get that same momentum. So I just think that's really, really cool. And because you guys have been quiet for like 15 seconds, applause to the board game industry. I'm not above pandering.
So my favorite experience so far at Gen Con, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a huge fan of Starving Artist. And we were walking outside the dealer's hall and Bob Ross, this dude with the hair, he was standing out there flagging people down. And I saw the front of the board game he was holding and it had art on it. And so I rushed to him and he's telling me about the board game. And he's like, go to this booth. And of course they sold out. Yeah, but it's a Target exclusive. So yeah. I will be able to get it at Target after the show.
Although I will say Starving Artist looks like a better game.
Ooh.
I mean, we'll play the Bob Ross game. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But so far, Starving Artist looks like it might be
the Art of Chill with Bob Ross. Yeah. In case anyone is looking for the official title.
Thank you, Kitty.
Yeah. We have a coffee shop down the street from us that they do Bob Ross Wednesdays. And you go and I think
on Wednesday night, they will pull a random patron's name. So if you're there, they will put all of your names into a box and pull your name. And if you are there and they pull your name, you paint with Bob Ross. They have a canvas and paints and they show him, and then all the patrons there just get to sit and watch you paint with Bob Ross. Yeah.
To be clear, Bob Ross is no longer with us. God rest his soul. But he is in spirit. And
he lives on through his shows on Netflix.
Yes. All right. So, Kitty, do you have a favorite of the moments that you went to the dealer's hall?
Let's see. I think my favorite moment was when I attacked the people at Osprey Games. And they're like my new favorite game publisher. And we found Odin's Ravens is going to be my new. It's a really fun two-player game. I liked Scheherazade is a really good solo game, but this is a really good two-player game. You're racing ravens down a track, and you're going kind of in a horseshoe path, but you're going the opposite direction of the other one. And you have Loki cards that let you mess with the path. And you can, or you can draw more cards. So you get to make this, and you play different terrains to move through them. And you're trying to make your path easier without making it easier for your opponent to get through it later.
All right, so now we're going to see how many people have any understanding of how to play this game. Love it. Okay, great.
I got some maybes.
Imagine the cards look like dominoes, and on each side you have a terrain, and then you just put a row of 16 of them. So, and then you have the cards in your hand that are match those terrains. So when you play a card of the matching terrain type, you can move that step forward. So your
really
Raven.
Pretty pictures of the terrains too.
Yeah. So if you need to move to the mountains, you play the mountain card. And if that's the next one in your step, then you can go there and you can play multiple cards at a time. The Loki cards allow you to manipulate the path and stuff. But it is really, really cool.
It's super simple to learn. I could teach it in 5 minutes if I had the game in front of me. It's just really hard to talk about these things without a visual sometimes.
Fine. We'll get back onto the YouTube thing, I promise.
Wait, we don't have to.
So what's the name of the game? Because we have had feedback that we say the name, we talk about it, and then we don't say the name again. So.
Odin's Ravens.
All right. By Osprey Games.
By Osprey Games.
Okay. So now I'm going to start picking on people from the audience. And I have a couple people that I know are going to come up. So we're going to start it off with this. And we're just start with Jen right here. So, and there's a seat right next to me. So Jen, talk into the microphone. You want to be a couple inches away because these things...
Do I want to be this close?
That's creepy close. I like it.
I like it. I like it.
All right. So, Jen, introduce yourself.
My name's Jennifer.
Don't talk to them. Talk to the mic. Here. But we're gonna. This is a good. This is, you know, play testing. Slide your chair over this way a little bit. Yeah. Now you can talk to both of them. So, Jennifer, you drove me here.
I did drive you here.
Yep. And
how was that?
It was a long drive. I played Zelda in the backseat of the car. That might be a theme. I don't know. So you have a different approach on Gen Con than I do. You sign up for all kinds of demos.
I do. I like to demo the games because a lot of times I've bought games and then brought them home and been like, this is going to be awesome. And then it just turns out to be more of the same thing all the time. And then I'm like, oh, this is just the same as something else that I have that's done better, and then it sits in my closet. So I do that so I don't buy all the games, so what and then have to start a podcast where I have to get rid of all the games.
It's therapy. So what was your favorite so far that you've played?
That I demo?
I'm putting on the spot.
You know what? Honestly, none of the ones that I bought event tickets for, I really, really liked. What I'm really, really excited about, though, is Pandemic Season 2, which I...
Yep.
I think everyone's excited for that
Which
one.
I don't think is a surprise so much, but the thing that made me really, really excited about it is that it's different. It's still Pandemic. It still feels like Pandemic, but the map is different. The way the cubes work on it is different. You're more like supply oriented rather than, who knows where it's going to go because it's pandemic, but I was just really, really excited. I mean, so excited. We stood there for like 30 minutes almost waiting to demo the game. And then like people kept coming up and crowding in and all of us were like elbows out, like nobody's sneaking in on us.
Wait, were you playing in the tent?
We were. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
And they have free like Pandemic Legacy Band-Aids.
Oh, nice.
I may have taken one for every toe and finger that I have.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of injuries in that.
There is. I'm very klutzy.
So, and I'm assuming you just played the first, like, they opened you up to the first mission?
Yeah, it was like the first little, scenario, but you had to set up two, supply centers, and in the real one, you have to set up three, I believe. So.
Okay.
So it's a demo version.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'm looking at the board.
Me and Chris were just creeping in the tent, like, hey, don't mind us.
One of those people Jen elbowed out of the way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Stop looking at me. It doesn't look like the world map anymore. It's like it looks like just
the
North
ocean
America,
in the middle
right?
Between America and, that other part of the world. Yeah.
Europe, right?
Every place
Rumor
else.
Rumor has it.
Let's just defend every let's offend 33% of our listeners. Well, that's good. No, but you start out in the ocean, right?
Where, yeah, you do.
So, and just because before we hit record, I talked about a game that I didn't really care for. But I want to know which one was your, you were super excited about it, but then it fell a little short. Again, I'm putting you on the spot.
No, that's okay. That's where I like to be. honestly, it was Firefly Browncoats versus Brigands.
Ooh, and I
don't know. Honestly, I don't know if that's the game's fault or the way it was being taught, because it was more of like, hey, here's the game. Have at it. And no explanation as to what the cards were. And then when I asked, like, and I don't know, it's because I don't know if you guys noticed, I'm a girl. and I don't know if it's a girl thing, but when I sat down and I was like, so what would you recommend? Because we had to choose equipment, but they weren't telling us, like, what we specialize in. Mm. And I was playing Kaylee, so I'm like, obviously it's going to be, like, shiny objects, you know, engines, that kind of thing. And he just said, no, the last guy sat in this thing and he just, like, did tech the whole time. So just do that. And I'm like, I'm doing everything that is the opposite of that. I don't care now. And it just like made me so mad, because I'm like, no, I want to play the game my way. I want to experience it my way. And it just felt disjointed, and it didn't feel like it was a movement campaign type style, but you couldn't really even get into the story. So, and I love the series. Like, if you brand it Firefly, I will probably buy it and defend it for weekly for, you know, a while.
So you're saying you want to give it a shot. Now, I'm pretty sure that Terrence is going to have some more to add to this. A little bit more to add. Because he came up to me yesterday. He's like, I want to talk about this game. I'm like, all right. So we'll see. We'll get another take on it. Because we actually own the game. Well, Sydney owns the game. It's still in shrink wrap.
So it's not just Chris in this family.
No. This is how this works. I buy games and then open them and eventually hope to play them.
I buy games after I've played them because I like knowing that I love the game. And so if I can't get Chris to play it, then it probably won't hit the table, even though I've already played it and love it. And so it ends up in shrink wrap.
And it stays in shrink and never gets opened. So we have a copy of Mysterium that will be on a cart
next year. That I can't get Chris to play.
I've played it 16 times. I think literally 16 times.
So moving on.
Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. Thanks for a great podcast.
Well, thank you. Also, I know that you do a certain video thing. Do you want to plug that real quick?
Oh, you know, that's so hard for me. yes, I do YouTube hair tutorials in vintage styling and lifestyle. It's a vintage vanity. And I also have my own clothing company specializing in vintage-themed skirts and nerdy work, and it's called Atomic Starlet.
Atomic Starlet.
AtomicStarlet.com.
Right. Yep. And you're not, well, some of you are here, but if you're not listening, you basically are just picked right out of the 20s. Everything about you is, it's fantastic. We love you.
Thank you.
So, say it again. Atomic Starlet?
AtomicStarlet.com, and you can find me on YouTube as a Vintage Vanity.
At Vintage Vanity. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Terrence, come up and actually introduce yourself first.
Okay, am I about right here?
You're perfect. You're perfect.
Cool. My name is Terrence Miltner, and I have been coming to Gen Con on and off for 15 years now. And I started coming to Gen Con. I got to go once when it was still in Milwaukee.
Nice.
And then I came down on a press badge for a few years for Scry Magazine. And then this year, you guys were going to be here. I'm like, that was one other thing. But there are just so many games. I'm like, I came to Gen Con to play the games I've already bought on Kickstarters.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so I'm here to play, you know, I came down to play Gruff and Ray Guns and Rocket Ships. And I'm like, oh, Firefly's got a board game coming out. It's a skirmish game, which is right in my wheelhouse. I'm there. And I was there today. And yeah, I'm not blown away.
All right.
Now, I love the Margaret Weiss that she did a few years ago, the Cortex-based Firefly role-playing game.
Yep.
It's awesome. And I like the Firefly game. My wife loves it. I'd rather play Zaya, but, you know, we'll get there. And this is, if you've played the Firefly board game, you're going to recognize all the iconography. It's going to be like, oh, this is like that, except instead of ships, it's on a map. But it just isn't there. And maybe it was exactly the teaching. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe we didn't get the game. Towards the end of our thing, and it was the people I was playing with, like you've said so many times, who you play with impacts the game. And these, it was like, okay, maybe and it was just, yeah, I'm probably going to end up buying it, but it's, yeah, no, not resentfully. I'm not going to resent it, but it's not going to be urgent.
So this is not an expansion to the Firefly Gale Force 9 game.
No.
Okay.
No, this is a standalone board game. It's like the D&D Minis game or HeroClix. It's on a grid, which I love, and there you have little minifigures, and it's awesome. It looks really good, and the gameplay I think will pick up, but it's going to depend on who you're playing it with, because it's very much of the are you into your role?
Okay. Yeah. Now, did you play a game that you actually like? This is an awesome game. I need to.
Yeah, I just. I was actually afraid I was going to be late because I got to sit in on Ray Guns and Rocket Ships.
Okay.
And that game, I was already pretty excited about it. And this game was like, oh, it's basically imagine any starship. Like you have a starship map and you fly around in your ship. Well, you also have a map in front of you where you have your crew moving around.
Cool.
So, yeah, first you move your ships, then you shoot, then your dudes move around. Or your ladies. There's both. And okay. Also right. Tentacles.
But ladies it's all, are allowed in space, too.
Yep.
It's good very, to know.
It's really a blast. And you're rolling D8s, and you have a lot of things to do. And it took a while to get through all the things, but once you get the hang of it, man, it's going to be a blast. And Scott Rogers, the designer, really has a great sense of humor. He took and just mishmashed all of these different tropes from the Westerns and the 1930s pulp era. Like one of them that sticks out, he has a rabbit, like the space rabbit dressed like a Clint Eastwood character from the Western movies.
I mean, that makes sense. Your rabbit should be dressed like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, the High Plains
what
rabbit.
What other kind of rabbits
yeah.
are
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you much cooler as a rabbit.
You know, I've got a ticket for tomorrow, and I'm like, I may actually go play in the demo again.
All right, this wow. is good because you are the person that pointed this game to me at Kickstarter. I'm like, all right, backing it, of course. And then this is Scott Rogers as in Professor Scott Rogers, right?
I will take your word for it.
All right. All I know is there's a Professor Scott Rogers, and I think it's the same person. He gave me his card yesterday, and it's like, you know, if you ever want to be on the, you want me to be on the show, I'm like, no, I'm definitely going to get a hold of you. So we're going to have a side chat with him. I'm going to see if it's, I don't, how many Scott Rogers are there really?
Yeah, I want to say he's done probably some teaching, but you know, like on his Facebook, I've done some of the Facebook stuff, but right. I didn't see that.
Am I crazy? Scott Rogers, Biography of a Board Game. Anyone know those names? Yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking it's the same person. And I met him randomly yesterday in line. I was actually standing next to Terrence in the Fantasy Flight line, and it didn't occur to me till later. I was like, wait a minute, this is the same person. So I'm going to give him a shout out and get him on the show.
Cool.
So, all right, Terrence, thank you very much. You are chairing a con this year?
Yes, I am. I actually, not this year. Next February, next year. I am. sorry.
Putting on the glasses.
I am chairing Capricorn 38, Expanding Universes. It is next February.
Valentine's Day weekend.
Valentine's Day weekend. Actually, it's February 15th through the 18th, so President's Day weekend.
Okay.
Oh. And we've got a pretty impressive guest of honor slate. Timothy Zahn will be our author guest of honor. Monica Valentinelli will be our gaming guest of honor. Sarah Wilkinson is our artist guest of honor. Dave McCarty is our fan guest of honor. That's someone who has done a lot of work for other fan groups. And also we have a special guest of Matt McElroy. So it's kind of cool for me. I actually have already run into two of my five guests of honor at convention. This
con. Yep. Yeah. So Sydney grew up doing sci-fi conventions, which is what Capricorn is.
And so when Chris and I met, we kind of traded conventions. And so I started bringing him to some of mine. And we didn't realize how much our worlds overlapped to begin with.
Yep. So, and that's actually how Terrence got to hear the podcast is Sydney was the very first time Sydney was on the podcast. She put it on her Facebook and she took the podcast seriously at that point. and then Terrence had listened and it's such a small world. So, but
yeah, I got to give credit where credit is due though. Sydney being on it. Yes. She's talked about it. Then he said Cult of the New. I'm like, oh, what's this? And it's yeah.
Yep. No, we like, and I try to describe the podcast to people. I'm not sure how to describe it. I call it a topical board game podcast. We don't do top tens. We don't do reviews. We just talk about topics in board games. And so that's what I'm calling it these days. But thank you, Terrence. And trust me, you'll walk. You're already walking back with racks on, but
yes,
I am. You'll get more. Actually, you won't walk back with that. That'll be sent. So, all right. All right. From this point on, my plants are done. So, if you want to come up and tell us a story about Gen Con,
there's
you can.
That train. And I don't know if you can hear it. Not live.
The audience can hear it. And you will walk away with pretty much anything on the cart. You'll be the first person. All right, come on. Have a seat. Introduce yourself.
And
talk right into that orange microphone.
I'm Parker, and I'm here with my dad and some of my friends. And I think my favorite demo I played today is either 5 minute Dungeon or Space Poo.
Okay. So I'm going to ask first about the important one. Tell us about Space Poo.
So
what did you do in Space Poo?
So you try and fling.
So are you flinging poo? All right,
you try and do 15 poos to everyone else.
So was this cards or dice, or did you actually have little emoji kind of things in front of you?
It was cards, but I wish it was the last one.
So noted. See, bad development. That'll kill a game. All right, what about 5 minute Dungeon? Because I saw that one. That one looks interesting to me.
Yeah, so it's not like most games. So you're on a timer, and you have to try and defeat a certain amount of cards. Some cards disrupt you in ways, and other cards just try and...
like, kill you?
They can't kill you, just try and slow down the timer.
Ah.
So it runs to zero.
Ah.
And,
how do you win?
You win by, beating every card in the deck, and there's, like this little platform card at the bottom. It has, a baby, like, warrior guy. at the bottom, and you have to try and defeat him before the time runs out. And
and if you do, is it cooperative?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you win when you played?
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Now, I heard one other thing. We were in the hall and we were talking, and you are actually what I've heard has come up like a Pokemon champion. Is that true? Maybe, but you're highly ranked on the Pokemon circuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if people remember way back, I accidentally got a rule wrong with Pokemon. And this is the kid that wrote in and said, wait a minute, no, what did I get wrong?
So you said, that you can only have 6 Pokemon on the bench. But you can only have 5.
Oh, see, so...
Chris can't count.
Yeah, the way I play, I cheat. So that's basically how it goes. And you just played in a rather big tournament, right?
Not big for here, but normal size for there. Huh? Oh, in Liverpool, England.
Cool.
I got 2nd. Won $750.
Wow. All right. Well, you also won your pick of any game on that rack over there. You're the first person who gets to pull stuff off of there. So consult with your dad and go pick a game over there. Thanks a lot. All right. Come on up. All right. So you're telling me you're ducking and weaving. You did not get bumped. In the Gen Call hall, that you're one of the persons?
Oh, yeah, I'm the one. I'm 6'5" and 150 pounds. So.
Yeah, I'm not 6'5" and I'm way over 150 pounds. I'm Chris,
nice
and you
are? Tim.
Tim.
I never heard of you guys before.
No.
I just was had something open right now, and I looked at a bunch of different things, and I was like, okay, this is something I can get.
Do we have a card? We should give him a card so we can do the pod. You know how to listen to us as a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
like actually listen in. So tell us, what have you liked best about JunkCon so far?
So
and
I'm,
get a little bit closer.
I'm a local, so I'm from Indianapolis. Didn't start going until about 5 years ago, but I've never actually paid for my badge because I work for the con in different ways.
Okay.
So for 2 years, I lugged programs. You know how the programs are in the cases? Someone has to put them there. So yeah, and you do that long enough, and they give you a badge, which is pretty cool.
And that trims the fat because those things are heavy.
And also, it's work you can do before the convention, so you have all the time in the world to be at the convention.
So I actually do it during the convention, but you can also be on the setup team. So that's pretty cool. For 2 years after that, I did True Dungeon. Have you guys run True Dungeon before?
Yep.
I actually have a friend who is like who's more involved with True Dungeon, so I won't talk about that, but that's another way I got free badges. This year, I'm actually just joining some friends in a group that's just leading events. So one of my friends is an event coordinator. I work under him as a game master, and we just lead events, and you do enough of that, and you get your badge for free.
And nice.
So, like I said, I've never bought my badge. I just come and help out with games.
And you didn't even have to start a podcast.
No.
And
I
didn't
even have to. I've been doing it all wrong.
Best game. So, of the games that I've led so far, absolute favorite is Scythe.
Okay.
You guys played Scythe?
Oh, yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think the rules actually say it's pronounced Scythe. The rules actually say it is pronounced Scythe. Yeah. Scythe is amazing. Imagine mixing... yeah, whatever. imagine mixing Catan and Risk, and then adding an element. You know, like in Risk where you're just like, control the world. This one, if you invade someone and you put farmers into exile, like you make them refugees, you lose popularity, which then, at the end of the game, determines how much coin you get. For, you know, so you can't just piss everyone off. Like, you can piss the other players off, but you can't like, piss off the workers, or they're going to hate you as a leader, and then you lose. You can lose that way.
There's more of a balance there.
Yeah. And you can play the game and never have a battle. You can play the game and win by never deploying their mechs. It's like Revisionist History post-World War I.
Yeah, like so, Russian 1920s with mechs.
The art is brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It is really beautiful
and
art.
It's really been a pleasure teaching other people how to play.
Yeah. So, fun fact. Yeah. That was episode one of Tabletop Game Talk.
No way.
It was episode one. I was not on it. It was just Chris and Josh, and it was a completely different format than we do now.
Yep. Our first three episodes were we were going to take one game and just talk in depth between Josh and I, and then in episode four, we brought Kitty on and
it actually got better.
it's brilliant. It's an absolutely brilliant
game. It is a really fun game.
Yeah, and it holds up really well. It actually, with the expansion, it plays up to 7 players now.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of really good board games that play up to 7 players. So Scythe will play up to 5 by itself, but if you get the expansion, now you're playing up to 7.
The rules actually encourage you not to play with all 7 characters. All the events with Scythe that we're doing is 7 players.
I think I think it plays fairly well because on your turn, you're going to choose one action track, I guess. An action can have 2 parts to it.
Yeah.
But it plays fairly quick. There's not a lot of downtime because you're just doing your one thing. And
unless you have a Josh.
Going. Unless you have a Josh.
I am blown away at how well balanced it is.
Yeah.
It's probably the most well balanced game I've ever had for having so much complexity. It's very intuitive and just very equal. So it's really cool. I recommend it.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah.
Please go grab a game.
Can I spend some time over there?
Oh, yeah, you can spend some time. Also, there's the Dungeons & Dragons miniatures one. You need 2 factions, so you grab both.
Some of these games are actually like really expensive.
Please take them.
I will say a lot of these games are actually really expensive.
That's a first edition Mansions of Madness. That's not even in print anymore.
Yeah.
And Talisman, that's not in print anymore either.
You should see the ones he didn't give away.
Yeah. No, I'm dead serious. And everyone, you don't have to come up to get a game. You just get first dibs if you do.
Okay.
After the after we hit stop on the record, you guys are all going to take stuff home. This isn't crap. I didn't just bring a whole bunch of little. Yeah. It's not
some
all
of
munchkin.
It might be.
By the way, if you want to learn more about True Dungeon, my friend Ian back there is the best next person to pick.
All right.
So
Ian, come on up. Let's talk about True Dungeon. You've been volunteered.
Told in all kinds of
things. Now, True Dungeon is, just to give a little bit of a quick preference, The True Dungeon is kind of, I'll let you tell what it's based off of, but it's pretty much a con-only event. Gen Con was the exclusive for quite some time. Gamehole Con is now the second con that it went to, and then I believe it was at Origins this year.
Right? It was at Origins.
Yep, so also, I will let you take it from there.
It also was at... Sorry, I lose my voice because I've been in the dungeon all day. There's usually two settings that you can say that, and one is not appropriate to mention here. but it also was when the Gen Con was in California. It was also in California. So it's interesting that you'll see people that have been veterans of that who have items that were at that event that you no longer can get and will proudly display them.
Yeah.
They're antiquated old tokens of lore, but they still...
But these items are cool. They're actually gold poker chips. Not solid gold.
Ones. That's the ones I'm referring to. So the game itself, if you're not familiar, it's one of the hottest events to get into. I have no direct affiliation other than being a volunteer, so I'm not like pushing something. But just as far as it's very hard to get into because it's a small amount of tickets and a lot of demand. So it is this difficult. But the concept is it is almost like, and people don't like saying this, it's like a LARP in a way, where you get to personify one of the core iconic 3.0 post D&D set characters. So you can be a barbarian, a rogue, a ranger, etc. And you are going through two different story modules that you can choose from that go through a different story arc. Within that, you can choose on your preference if you are more a puzzle kind of person or if you're more of a combat-oriented kind of person. But one of the key components of the game is that you represent your equipment and items through tokens. That way, you can carry lots of these tokens with you. You don't have to carry lots of boffer swords or other kinds of materials. So it's a very large economy, and you might see coupons for or people selling these tokens because they are very valuable. And it's been going on for so long that there are some tokens you can sell for hundreds upon hundreds of dollars, just like magic cards.
Yeah, it's magic with like poker chips. So these tokens can be like a weapon that you actually physically use the token. There's numbers and round. You're trying to like kind of a shuffleboard mechanic.
Exactly.
Or you have a token that's a potion. And when you use it, you give it to whoever your guide is and it's consumed. You don't get that token back, but you heal hit points or something like that.
So when you fight a creature, for example, you actually do shuffleboard like you would at a bar, but you are fighting to the death with some type of creature. And so you will actually slide them, and depending where they slide on a silhouette of a creature is basically representation of what your D20 roll would be. And depending how your token is facing a certain reticule, it will let you know how much damage you've done on that. So you've both done rolled for damage and to hit all in one roll, and you have the DM that arbitrates if you've hit successfully under all the different conditions and how much damage you've done. So it's actually a pretty smooth mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah, and the time I played it, I played through the puzzle part, and one of the puzzles that I remember, there's two actually I remember. One, we were underwater, so we couldn't talk to each other, so because you're underwater. And the other one, we all had to like sit down at a table, and as soon as we sat down, we couldn't stand up until we solved the riddle as to why we were stuck in place.
Was that the steampunk year where you had to operate a robot, or is it the switches?
Switches.
Switches.
Yep. So, and it's all a storyline, and you may succeed, you may not. You'll get a different ending when you go through it. The tickets are not cheap. It's a runs about an hour, and they're like, what?
Oh, no, it's like 3 hour commitment, basically.
Oh, is it?
Ooh. Okay. Well, because so the game, there are seven rooms that you go through. Each room is 12 minutes, but to prepare you, you go through two cycles of coaching, which is where you have all your tokens and a person makes sense of it and basically translates it on one character sheet for all of your players.
Yep.
I remember. And then one 12 minute rotation of actually playing like mock game.
I was playing the wizard and they give you like a chart of symbols you have to memorize. And when you want to cast a spell, they will show you one of those symbols and you have to tell them what symbol that is in order for the spell to be cast successfully. Mm-hmm. So it's like that kind of thing. So each class has this like really interesting mechanic to it. Mm-hmm. So, and it's one of those things where you really can only do it at conventions. Like, you're not going to find it anyplace else. They're branching out a little bit more. Gen Con, Origins, and Gamehole Con, I think, are the only three conventions, correct, only three places you can play it right now.
Right. And it's the 15th anniversary, so they're doing a lot of really interesting things, a lot of interviews and things. Now, the area itself is free to go to look at, and that's under the Lucas Oil. So you can go in there if you go under the bridge. And it's neat to just look at if you want to see things. What's really interesting is that there is a partnership right now with True Dungeon, with Patrick Rothfuss. If people here are fans of the King Killer Chronicles, anyone? read any of the first two of the trilogy? Fantastic. Two people, thank you for your they're fantastic books. If you like waiting for novels, like Fire and Ice, you know, like waiting forever, the third novel is perpetually about to come out. But it's neat because Patrick Rothfuss, the author and creator of these story arcs that are going through, he also has a charity called World Builders. So a portion of the proceeds from this during these multiple year story arcs going starting this year and onward will go to be going to charity, which is pretty cool. So.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
And go find yourself again.
Are you still trying to
pick? I'm still trying to decide.
People can cut you in line.
Yeah. Wait, do you know of a podcast that could talk and recommend games? Recommend.
So, as you will see, some of those games over there are still in shrink wrap. If you grab Sentinels of Multiverse, just grab all three of them. Because there's three sets over there.
And they all go together.
If you grab the Dungeons & Dragons Command, there's four of those. Just grab all four of them because you have to have two of them to play against each other. They're all good. I mean, I don't know that any of them are bad games. No, I pointed out the one that was bad. Yeah, so that one, that was not a great game. No, if you're listening to the podcast, you should already know. And if you're not, Well, if you don't already know, I don't want to keep harping on it because that's just me. But wait, I have a new person sitting next to me. You are?
Hi, I'm Rich.
Rich, pleasure.
Pleasure. Nice to meet you. How you doing?
So what have you highlight, low light of Gen Con?
So mostly I come to Gen Con. I've been coming to Gen Con for about 10 years. Mostly I come here to play Magic.
Okay.
Don't boo me.
I keep saying, I have a friend, his name is Rob Rossi, and I love saying it because it's Rob Rossi. We played D&D together for a ton of time. I always ask him, like, you need to come on the show so we can talk about Magic the Gathering. And he always says, I would love to, but it's a Magic release weekend that day, so I can't.
Oh, yeah.
So eventually I will align with one of the other, every other. I think every other week is a Magic release.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. So eventually we'll get him on the show.
Okay.
So, all right. So you mostly come from Magic.
Mostly I come from Magic. However, I got a chance to do the playtesting hall this year. Tried a game called Kardashev.
Okay.
It's a board game. You are essentially building resources, building fleets, conquering your opponents. It's a three-player game. So it's like Risk Light almost.
Okay.
It was interesting. It's definitely still in a developmental phase. I mean, they are playing around with a lot of rules, trying to see if they're good, they're bad, what's complicated, what they need, what they don't need. So it was an interesting experience, to say the least.
Yeah. So that's something that, again, a lot of conventions have. And at Gen Con, the room's called Double Exposure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it is you come and you show this is my prototype, and you have people play it. And you can get feedback. The prototype can be in all the different levels of completion. And I'm assuming, did you work with the developer or the designer and kind of give feedback?
Yeah.
Writing things down?
So they give you it's a 2-hour time span. They give you 90 minutes to play and learn the rules and do all that good stuff. And then they give you about a half an hour to give feedback to the designers. So.
All right. Yeah. Anyone else do any of the playtesting stuff? Yeah? Yep.
I see some nods.
some nods. I keep wanting to do it. I actually brought my prototype with me, but I'm still in that phase where I was like, do I really want to put it in front of someone? Because what if they say it's bad? So I only put it in front of people who know me. So they're like, no, this is amazing. If anyone wants to say, this is amazing, let me know and I'll show you the game. We have some volunteers.
Great.
You put it in front of me and Josh too, though.
Yeah, you guys didn't dislike it too much.
No.
See, they have to say that. I don't get to pay them yet, but they're like, eventually they'll pay me if I just keep saying happy things.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
That's
anything
what I
else?
No, I think that was about it. So.
I do have a question about the whole Magic scene.
Okay.
How is the Magic scene?
So the Magic scene is... So it's a fantastic question, and I'm glad you've given me 95 minutes to talk about the Magic scene.
All right.
You know, it's interesting, to say the least, right? I mean, you've got a very diverse group of people, some who are here to clearly smash someone's face in.
Yep,
and
that's how I remember it.
Yeah, and folks like me who are just here to have a good time and meet new people and try to have fun. It's been shrinking at Gen Con, honestly. So 5 years ago, 6 years ago, my brother and I would come, we'd play, we would grind Magic 4 straight days. I'd play in 10, 11 side tournaments, have a great time. You know, they would run 400, 500 side tournaments along with major tournaments that were attended by 400 to 500 people.
And side tournaments being as soon as they hit 8, they start.
They start, correct. And so you know, it used to be 1,000 people in the Magic area, and now I'd say if they're pushing 300, it would be impressive this year. So it's shrunk over the last few years. I think in part that's because you've got companies like Star City Games, companies like Channel Fireball, who are major companies running major tournaments that are now off-site from Gen Con. Wizards of the Coast has drawn back from Gen Con. A lot of the major support for Magic has gone out of this convention, despite the fact that the convention is growing.
Right.
But I think the convention is growing in a very board game way, not as so much the collectible card game way, so it makes a big difference.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I think that, and I think as we get more diverse, it's actually not bad, because it used to be 5 years ago when you came here, there was an entire area of the open gaming area that was just designated to Magic.
Right.
I mean, technically trading card games, but...
But it was Magic. It was Magic. I mean, it was Magic. There was like 5 Pokemon guys in the back, no offense.
Yeah.
Seriously, dude, you won $750 in a Pokemon tournament. If I won $750 in my lifetime playing Magic, I would feel really good about myself. So you've done something.
And you're, how old are you right now?
Nine.
Exactly.
Nine.
Yeah, I've been playing Magic since I was 13, so I'm 36 now. So.
All right, thank you very much.
Very nice to meet you guys.
Go grab a game. All right, who's next? We have time for probably a few more. All right, purple shirt, and you're next.
We gotta get rid of all these games before we get kicked out of this room, Chris.
You know, I have until 7:30. So for those who are listening, it is 7:09 right now. We have till 7:30. We're gonna cut this off in 10 minutes, and the last 10 minutes is just gonna be you guys just going at these things
in the order of the numbers that we gave you.
She's an accountant. I'm gonna say if you have a number, come on up. So we'll go with that. But who am I talking to?
Hi, my name is Dave.
Dave, I'm Chris. This is Kitty and Sydney.
Nice to meet you all. I've actually just recently found your podcast because, I love big games, which I think a lot of people come here for, but my heart belongs to card games, and I actually did a Google search on trick-taking games, and your podcast came up, and I fell in love with it, so I've been listening to all your episodes.
So Spencer, Kitty's father of her child and husband. It's not the 90s anymore.
It's the 90s? Oh my God, two decades off, man.
But anyway, we really enjoyed doing that episode. I was like, I don't know, trick-taking games. And I'm like, all right, we'll get Spencer on there. So apparently you liked it.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So I played all the games. I'm a big Hearts fan, Euchre fan. I play all those games. I kept waiting for you to talk about Pinochle, but that's okay. I'll let that one go.
None of us are smart enough to play Pinochle.
I'm an old soul and an old person,
too. Have you had an opportunity to play Tournament at Camelot?
I have not. Actually, I've been looking for it, and I couldn't even find it downstairs. So I do want to track it, because I know you guys have talked about it before.
Yep.
It sounds exactly right up my alley.
It's amazing.
Yes.
So keep going.
Well, I was really excited by Restoration Games because, being the old soul, they're a new company that's bringing a lot of old games up into the modern era. They're bringing out a game called Stop Thief, which when I was a kid, I loved, and I still have my vintage 1977 copy of Stop Thief that still hits the table. But Restoration Games has made a new version of it that they just released this weekend, so I was really excited. They also have a game out called Indulgence, which is a reprint of a 1981 game called Dragon Master. It is a true trick-taking game, and I got a chance to play it downstairs, and I was in love with it. So,
yeah, Restoration Games, I've heard nothing but good things about them. One of the founders is the same person who did all of the Legacy games that actually have the Legacy name on it. So Risk Legacy, Pandemic Legacy, Seafall, which doesn't actually say Seafall Legacy, but he did that as well. Rob Davio, right?
Yes.
Yep. And I'm glad to hear they're doing like great work. And
they just announced this weekend. I don't know if we can put this out there, but they did announce that they're doing Fireball Island. That was a big game from my childhood again, and they're reprinting it, and that's their next game.
Yep. Actually, you just reminded me. Who here went to the Dice Tower live show? Nobody. One person. Okay. Because they did announce that, and I will just say, if you don't listen to Dice Tower, you should listen to that episode. I'm guessing they're going to bleep a few things, but it was a pretty entertaining episode. Very musical. Kitty didn't like the music all that much.
I'm not a musical person.
You are totally a musical person. We have watched Glee together, and this is probably more information than anyone needs, but we've watched Glee together probably over 100 times.
Like, you're thinking of Pitch Perfect again.
I'm thinking Pitch Perfect. I keep saying Glee. I have watched Glee over 100 times. That's not true. I've watched it at least twice, though, all the way through. But Pitch Perfect. So you like musical stuff. You thought it was a little bit disjointed on this.
It can't be, maybe. Took a lot of time. I don't know. Well, I'm grumpy.
She's pregnant.
Just blame it on me. I'm grumpy. I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying about it is they just announced Fireball Island on it. And so it is official. It's out there. Rob Davio was there. So I'm actually really looking forward to it. I haven't picked up any of the Restoration games yet.
I bought them all today. So.
Nice.
Yeah. So far, I haven't heard anything bad about it. And on your recommendation alone, I'm going to add some more to my collection. Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
But in exchange, you're going to take at least one of those from my collection.
Sweet. I love it. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Come on up. So we have about 10 minutes left.
Seven
minutes left. I'm Chris. How are you?
Hi, I'm Phil. Also from the Chicago area.
Cool.
So
awesome.
Very glad I missed the 65 accident, by the way. I just have to say that. But yeah, this is my first time at Gen Con. Got to come down. My wife brought me for my birthday. So that was
happy
amazing.
Happy birthday. Thank you. Wonderful wife.
Yes, but one of the things I've really enjoyed about the con here is actually meeting a lot of the designers, the artists behind the games. There's been a number of my favorite games that I've actually been able to talk to them about, you know, what's their vision, what are they coming out with, you know, what's new and exciting. So, for instance, you know, I've got Robinson Crusoe, if you've ever played it. My wife is holding up the box. I'll explain that in a second.
Signed by Ignacy?
Yes. So first Martians just came out. Yep. Just absolutely stoked to play this game. I love Robinson Crusoe. It's one of my favorites. You know, and Ignacy was actually there and talking about, you know, what he's done and how he's transformed the game and just all the new stuff about it. Also happen to love a game called Castles of Mad King Ludwig. And
I love that game.
Palace of Mad King Ludwig is apparently coming out now with a similar theme, but a lot of differences. You're now playing on one castle, building it together. So you're, you know, a little more interactive. And, you know, I just have really found that being able to speak to that person that built it in the first place and hear what they thought of it and why they did what they did, it's really interesting.
Yeah. I just bought Photosynthesis yesterday and the designer was there and he was signing it and like painstakingly using a razor blade to open up the plastic so he could sign the box and making sure he blew on it so the signature wouldn't smudge. Like you could see he's really proud of that game and it's fantastic because Photosynthesis, we played it last night, it's kind of gotten a big buzz of the con. It is a really, really good game. Very simple to learn, but it has a lot of strategic depth to it. And just talking with the designer, you can be like, I'm so happy for him. Because to be completely honest, most of the designers here, this isn't their day job. Like game designers don't make a living designing games. And when they have something where people enjoy it and love it, that's why they do it. And to be able to see that and be part of that in first person, I agree with you. I love that about going to the conventions.
Yes.
So, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And go get a game. So I do want to leave just a few minutes. Does anyone just have a general question for us at all? I don't want to go through and not have... our day jobs. Well, Kitty is going to become a full-time mom.
Right now, I'm a stay-at-home dog mom.
I am a tax accountant.
So, yeah. 3 of 4 tests to actually getting your CPA. So, yay! CPA. And I don't even actually know how to describe it. I guess I'm a technical management developer. So I've spent the last 30 years writing software, and now I manage people who write software. And I love doing what I'm doing. But we do the podcast. I tease that it's, you know, kind of for the press badge. And maybe partly it's sort of that, but it's a lot more than that. It's not necessarily what I get for doing the podcast. It's the feedback and the community that we've been able to build with the podcast. Like, we do this for you guys. Like, this is the coolest thing ever. It's the most humbling thing ever to have people come and listen to us babble for an hour and 17 minutes. You know, if Josh were here, he'd say the same thing. He's kind of shy, so when he's up here, he's not paying any attention, like pretending you're not there, but it's adorable.
I don't know if that's true.
All I know is the Origins one is on YouTube. Josh,
I didn't watch it. I'm going to have to.
He did not look at the audience the entire time. No, but we love doing this, and we love the interaction, and we love the emails and the feedback. We read them all. I try to reply to most of them. We try to mention you on the podcast as much as possible. But without you guys, we wouldn't do it. Like, you know, oh, we're just talking to ourselves. So day job aside, yeah, whatever. That pays the bills so I can do this. Patreon helps pay for this. So we were actually at a point where we've broken even on like hosting fees and all the giveaways we do and that kind of thing. So that's thank you, all of you. Even if you're not a patron, it's still like it helps that you're involved because it really just builds the community up. So I'm not just, you know, throwing money into it for the sake of throwing money into it, but I would do it honestly anyway because it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. We get addicted to it.
It's true.
Yeah. We'd say, oh, right, let's do this. So Kitty's like, We got time.
Well, I don't want to be the people in front of us who are like, we're peeking in, like, get out of the room. We want to be considerate. We're better than that.
So for those listening, you are going to notice that this has dropped probably 4 days earlier. I'm going to put this up Saturday morning as opposed to Tuesday morning because it's our Gen Con quote-unquote live show, and I want to be a more part of, like, more real time. That means there won't be an episode on Tuesday, but you get this one early. So that said, I'm going to let Kitty do the outro as soon as I say some words so I can bring back up the right thing so I can hit the exit loop, and then Kitty will start reading.
Thanks for listening, and remember, we love your feedback, so consider leaving us an iTunes review, email us with comments or questions at tabletopgametalk@gmail.com. Finally, a huge thanks to our patrons, Emil Jiljam, George, Adam Harrison, Sam from New York, Tom Bly, Jason Strong, Terrence Miltner, Steven Seitz, Alex Brown, Michael Ohl, Josh Arntz, Trevor Olson, Brian Arnold, Sean P. Kelly, Joseph Lee, John Merkel, Daniel Shepard, C. Marie, Rudy Liu, Benjamin Heimowitz, Jerry Huang, Mike Smith, Stefan Phillips, Caleb O'Brien, John Lewis, Jennifer Engelbrecht, Justin Willard, Christopher Dong, Jason Marks, Jeremy Fisher, and Joseph Lee. Until next week, where we talk about gaming trends. Keep playing games and having fun.
Good night.
We certainly are not.
All right, the music's over now. We can do the post-credit things. So Sydney really wants me to draw numbers, and I really did have intentions of drawing numbers, but all these pins with the numbers on them, just wear them and just come up and start taking stuff off the shelf.
Under 10.
Yeah, under 10. Okay. If you have under 10, come on up and start taking games.
If your number on your thing
says your pin.
Take a game and then stick around after, and there's a whole lot of more games. Also, I'm going to now hit stop so that the people listening aren't too jealous. Good night, everyone.
I will get out of the way.